And the views and opinions expressed on Gaza Corner are those of me, Dori Stein, and the guests who appear and do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of a KALW public media. Our guest on Gaza Corner tonight is Jonathan Ofer, who is an Israeli Jew living in Denmark, actually a violinist and conductor. But I know Jonathan as, man, about a decade as a regular contributor to Amanda Weiss, which is one of the many sources I rely on for a Gaza Corner. So welcome, Jonathan.
Thank you very much, Dori.
There was a report by the Palestinian Center for Human Rights, known as PCHR, that shared truly shocking stories of Palestinian rape victims. And Jonathan, you wrote a detailed story about the report titled Understanding the Mindset Behind Israel's Usage of Rape as a Weapon of Genocide. And it's linked at the Gaza Corner section of the playlist at tangents.com. The playlist is in the left-hand column. Thank you, Harry, for posting it. The article was written on November the 17th by Jonathan. What were the findings of this report, Jonathan?
Right. Well, thanks once again, Dori, for focusing on this issue, which is it's not being highlighted very much in the mainstream media, not enough. They were basically saying that these testimonies that we'll speak about, they're part of a system of torture. They write that these practices are part and parcel of the ongoing crime of genocide against the Palestinian people in this strip. What we're seeing here is like really the tip of the iceberg of a system of torture in these, what Israel calls prisons, which are actually like really torture dungeons. And they're not the first to document this system. I mean, B'Tselem, the Israeli human rights organization, already last year came out with a report called Welcome to Hell, where they were talking about this system. It's not just one camp. There has been one camp that has been more notorious. Sde Teiman, maybe people have heard that name. But that's just one of those camps.
Due to the so-called ceasefire, many Palestinian, I would call them even hostages, because most of them were arbitrarily arrested. Many have no charges against them. They were in administrative detention, meaning that there was no due process at all. They were released and provided testimonies that were revealed in this report. So talk about the testimonies, or at least a couple that were written that I think that we should share. And also, I need to say that the language in these testimonies are extremely graphic. And I think it's important for people to hear them, but understand that it is extremely graphic. And if it's something that you don't want to hear, then you can tune out.
Okay, Dori, I'm going to read out for you some things. They come out in my article, but actually in edited form. So I think I'll read to you the longer version of one rape case involving a woman. But let's start with a man and involving dogs that are trained to rape. And I want to say, I've been hearing, you know, every time there were people released in these deals, we've been hearing these same stories. It's not like this one story of a man raped by a dog. It suggests that these dogs are actually being trained for this mission. I also want to say that, like, if you look, I think it was in February last year, so almost 2 years ago, I've also written an article documenting how the Israeli media is kind of boasting about these torture camps. They actually bring the mainstream media in. Look at these people. They're shackled. They have to be on their knees all day and they hardly have enough food. They were literally boasting about the sadistic torture of Palestinians. They weren't showing rape. There is a limit to it. But then we had this video. We can talk about the video later. But let's start, as you ask, with what these people are saying. So let's start with this man.
And I should say, Jonathan, that when you talk about the man who was literally raped by a dog, and the dog's being trained to do this, this comes on the heels of such abject dehumanization of saying that Palestinians are human animals.
Exactly. It's like it's a manifestation of giving them this is what you deserve, to be treated literally like an animal. I don't even think anyone would do that to animals unless they were extremely sadistic. But yeah, that's what I see there. They're trying to project this. Okay, I'll read it to you. This section, I was moved to a section I didn't know in Sais de Teiman. This is a 35-year-old Palestinian. They name him as AA. These are just initials. He was a father arrested at Al-Shifa Hospital in Gaza in March 2024. So he says, I was moved to a section I didn't know inside Sde Teiman during the first weeks there amid repeated suppression operations. I was taken with a group of detainees in a degrading manner to a place far from the cameras. This is interesting, far from the cameras, a passage between sections. We were stripped completely. Soldiers brought dogs that climbed on us and urinated on me. Then one of the dogs raped me. The dog did it deliberately, knowing exactly what it was doing, and inserted its penis into my anus. While the soldiers kept beating and torturing us and spraying pepper spray in our faces, the dog's assault lasted about 3 minutes. The overall suppression lasted about 3 hours. Because of the severe beating, all of us sustained injuries across our bodies. I suffered a severe psychological breakdown and deep humiliation. I lost control because I could never have imagined experiencing such a thing. Afterward, a doctor stitched a wound in my head caused by the torture, 7 stitches without anesthesia. I also suffered bruises, fractures in my ribs, sorry, fractures in my limbs and a rib fracture. And I could now, if you're okay with that, I'll read a little bit longer testimony from a woman. And I'm a bit detached when I read this because you just can't fathom the details, but you've already warned about the graphic content. It is very extreme. So this 42-year-old Palestinian woman, they call her NA. She was a mother who was arrested while passing through an Israeli checkpoint set up in northern Gaza in November 2024. These people, they were released here in October, right? At dawn, I heard the soldiers shouting, saying that morning prayers were forbidden, and I think it was the fourth day after my arrest from Gaza. The soldiers moved me to a place I didn't know because my eyes were blindfolded, and they ordered me to take off my clothes. I did so. They put me on a metal table, pressed my chest and head against it, cuffed my hands to the end of the bed, and pulled my legs apart forcefully. I felt a penis penetrating my anus and a man raping me. I started screaming, and they beat me on my back and head while I was blindfolded. I felt the man who was raping me ejaculate inside my anus. I kept screaming and being beaten, and I could hear a camera, so I believe they were filming me. The rape lasted about 10 minutes. After that, they left me for an hour in the same position, with my hands cuffed to the bed with metal handcuffs, my face on the bed, my feet on the floor, and I was completely naked. Again, after an hour, I was raped fully in the same position with penetration into my vagina, and I was beaten while I screamed. There were several soldiers. I heard them laughing and the camera clicking as it took pictures. This rape was very quick. And there was no ejaculation. During the rape, they beat me with their hands on my head and back. I cannot describe what I felt. I wished for death every moment. After they raped me, I was left alone in the same room, hands still cuffed to the bed and without clothes for many hours. I could hear the soldiers outside speaking Hebrew and laughing. Later, I was raped again vaginally. I screamed, but they beat me whenever I tried to resist. After more than an hour, I'm not sure about the time, a masked soldier entered, removed my blindfold, lifted his face covering. He had white skin and was tall. He asked if I spoke English. I said no. He said he was Russian and ordered me to masturbate his penis. I refused, and he hit me in the face after raping me. That day, I was raped twice. I was left naked the whole day in the room where I spent 3 days. On the first day, I was raped twice. On the second day, I was raped twice. On the third day, I remained without clothes while they looked at me through the door slit and filmed me. One soldier said they would post my photos on social media. While I was in the room, my period started. Then they told me to put on clothes and transferred me to another room. That was that one.
That is Jonathan Ofer, our guest on Gaza Corner, who wrote the piece Understanding the Mindset Behind Israel's Usage of Rape as a Weapon of Genocide. He was quoting from the Palestinian Center for Human Rights, which documented testimonies of systemic rape and sexual torture in Israeli detention against recently released Palestinian detainees. Jonathan, these are not isolated incidents. The report really emphasizes that these are part of a systemic system of rape in these prisons.
Yes, the fact of the dogs being part of it, once again, it shows you don't just do this, you actually train an animal for this purpose. That's a systematic. But when we look at what we've seen, there was a mentioning in that testimony about the dog rape that they were taken to a place between the sections, if you recall, where there are no cameras. These people are very aware of the camera issue. It's a big issue. And what we have from the camera is very interesting because a year ago, in the beginning of August, a video was released. A video from the surveillance camera. There's like a surveillance camera at the top of the hall in Sde Teiman, which actually filmed these soldiers that we're talking about, 12 soldiers, gang raping a Palestinian. And it's both the fact that it was filmed and how you can see them being aware of the camera and trying to hide it. So let's kind of decipher the layers in this. First, at the end of July, these soldiers were taken in for a military police investigation because the doctor who got this Palestinian as a patient, whose intestines were ruptured from insertion of sharp objects into his anus. He was complaining about this, and he was saying, this actually happened. And there's no discussion about the forensic facts here. He was beaten in other ways, like this person in the testimony is saying, but it was the doctor who was complaining. Now, an investigation started, and it got noticed in the Israeli public. And then there was this whole commotion from politicians and activists to actually stop the investigation. These people shouldn't be investigated. So they stormed the base, and it became this media thing. And then we got a video. It w went on Channel 12, Israeli Channel 12, mainstream media, most watched commercial news channel. And what you saw is this went all over the world, but what you saw is this black and white surveillance camera. It is filming this hall, and then you have this group of soldiers. They're taking a person out to the side, and then a whole row of soldiers is holding these shields while two other people or something that they do the rape like behind the shields, but you can still see what's going on. So you can see that they are aware of precisely this camera angle right there, in case someone in the system watches this, they could claim you haven't seen nothing because we just blocked this. But there was really no doubt in the collection of the evidence and that forensic evidence and the doctor documents and so on. There was really no doubt about what happened here. It was an organized gang rape. So what happened with that case was, some of those main suspects, they became like media stars. They came out and spoke in the media about, especially right-wing media, about how, they're being basically targeted. They should just give them a break because, we all know that Palestinians are those human animals, which we're not supposed to be punished for treating them as such, right?
Jonathan, I mean, when you talk about being treated as heroes, the Israeli Minister of Finance, Bezalel Smotrich, stated, quote, IDF soldiers deserve respect and that they suffered, quote unquote, terrible injustice. And Minister of National Security Itamar Ben-Gvir reportedly stated that it was, quote unquote, shameful for Israel to arrest its, quote unquote, best heroes. And when asked during a discussion in the Knesset if it was legitimate to, quote unquote, insert a stick into a person's rectum, Hanok Milwitzki, a member of the Knesset from the Likud party, responded, quote, if he is a Nukba, which is a Hamas militant, everything is legitimate to do, everything. So this is the mindset, not just of the right wing, but of the most prominent power people in the current government.
The more recent part of this story is that it turned out that the military advocate general, she admitted that she was the one responsible for leaking this video to the press. And when that happened, Netanyahu, the prime minister, Benjamin Netanyahu, called it the worst PR crisis. He's saying perhaps the most severe public relations attack that the state of Israel has experienced since its establishment, and the defense minister Israel Katz called it a blood libel. So they're basically all framing this as, a PR issue. And the military advocate general who leaked it, you can have different analyses of her motivations, but you can actually see it from what she's saying. She has put several cases to gather dust on the shelves, but this case, she thought, oh, wait a minute, we're going to have trouble with the international community if we're seeing as not prosecuting such a case. Everyone is going to look and say, you have no justice system. So that's why she was desperate to make the case continue, because she was seeing so much political and activist effort to shut it down. And she was worried that it would be shut down and then Israel would get it from the ICJ or from the ICC, from the international courts. So that's why she leaked it. She is claiming that there has to be a certain limit, no matter how terrible you think these terrorists are, there has to be a limit of what we allow to pass. But you can also say, I'm not sure how much her morals weigh against her fear of being internationally prosecuted.
And
So,
she's no longer is no longer in her position.
yes, she resigned as she admitted it, because she resigned exactly a few days after that in the investigation of the leak was going on in the court case.
But the shocking thing, Jonathan, is that the Israeli media is completely consumed in about the leak, but they're not talking about the gang rape. I mean, that's in the background. It's the leak that's become the story. Let's move on. I really want people to understand that the systemic rape is something that has become completely permissible under the encouragement from National Security Minister Itamar Ben-Gvir, because since October 7th, comment on how he has made sure to increase the suffering of Palestinian prisoners and worsening their conditions. In fact, he did that,
He
when
did that
he
earlier.
did that earlier, but after October 7th, it was on steroids.
Absolutely, and the testimonies definitely confirm that.
I mean, he established a regime of actually torture and beatings.
We've actually had testimonies of I would actually call them Palestinian hostages, where the prison guards, they invited Israeli civilians in to watch them being tortured. They're being stripped naked. I haven't seen that they were being, raped in front of the civilians. I think even there they would think there's a limit, but they were being tortured in front of the civilians, like in some, sadistic zoo. So it's really gone on steroids, and there's really been this culture of relishing in the torturing of Palestinians.
Many people probably have to rack their brains to understand a mindset that can so dehumanize a person that you can willfully enact a systemic program of rape in these prisons. And I think a lot of it is justified in the minds of the security forces because of Israel's mass rape propaganda. They call Hamas a rapist regime. In my view, it's the other way around. These rape charges against Hamas of systemic rape have never been proven. It's actually been debunked. As recently as November 14th, the United Nations Special Rapporteur on Violence Against Women and Girls, Reem Al-Salem, said that there was no independent probe finding evidence of rape during the 2023 Hamas attack on Israel. A UN fact-finding report in January of 2025 said that it was, quote, unable to meet any survivors of sexual violence, unquote, and did not find direct forensic evidence or proof that the sexual violence was systemic. Meaning, parenthetically, meaning centrally planned or ordered as a weapon of war. But meanwhile, Israel's version got out into the mainstream media, and even President Biden said, and this was not even anything that Israel admitted to, but Biden said that babies had been decapitated, which was, so absurd and false. But these kinds of things became embedded, as you say, in the Israeli public consciousness. And the soldiers used this as a way of justifying retaliation and raping Palestinian men and women as a means of saying, basically, we're getting you back for what you did October 7th, which was a false narrative. There may have been isolated rapes. That's something that is still not resolved, but it was absolutely not systemic. No one has brought forensic proof for that.
I agree with that overall assessment and Pramila Patton UN report of early this year is an example of she could not determine a pattern, but the thing is she did not even have the capacity to investigate it. Israel permitted her to come there and speak with the president and get the Israeli version and hear about things. But precisely because she did not have the mandate to investigate, the body that did have the mandate to investigate was refused entry to Israel. Israel does want to control that narrative and basically get the UN premature, or is that what you call it, this UN blue stamp for its propaganda. But then, when you actually read into the details of what they are using, you cannot quite see evidence for a systemic rape. And it's very hard to see evidence at all. They can say, reasonable grounds to believe and so on. It could be. But the systemic aspect is just not to be seen. And here, now, that was once again, we have to make these disclaimers. And here, when we get back to the Israeli case, it's clear that there is not just a systemic aspect here, it's an ongoing systemic aspect. It's not just one day. We're talking about weeks, we're talking about months, we're talking about years inside a system that continues this way. And it didn't calm down. This is like the new normal for Israel.
I also do want to mention the complicity of the New York Times in propagating this false narrative about systemic rape. It's now become almost a scandalous article and infamous. It's linked at the Gaza Corner section of the playlist. People can look this up. Screams Without Words: How Hamas Weaponized Sexual Violence on October 7th. So many independent news outlets have thoroughly debunked this flawed investigative piece. Even the newsroom at the New York Times fractured over the story, so much so that the New York Times online magazine show called The Daily was going to air an episode based on its investigation, but withdrew it because there was so much disarray internally. So that was one that really got out into the world, and it just reinforced this notion of Hamas was this, rapist regime, which has been thoroughly discredited now. So you do a good job in the article of getting into the mindset of how the, Israeli security forces can actually do these most sadistic, horrific acts of rape and sexual violence against these inmates, because in their own mind, they're justifying it as a means of retaliation for what they think falsely was done to the women on October 7th.
Yeah, I think we're talking, like you say, about a projection. I don't think that most people want to perceive themselves necessarily as rapists. But it's like if you dehumanize the other part enough, then you can live in this illusion that you're not, because they're not human. So I don't know what you would call raping an animal. I think it's still a rape. But anyway, I think another aspect here, Dory, that is important to note is the societal response to this, because we have polls about these things. And in August last year, and it's more or less the same now, Israelis were asked, would you want prosecution of this if it turned out, really qualified, if it turned out that the suspicion is grounded, that is that they raped. They raped the Palestinian detainee, the hostage, with the video. There was a video. Would you want criminal prosecution for that? And 65% of Jewish Israelis said no. They don't want criminal prosecution. Two out of three Israelis said no. At best, tops, they would want a military disciplinary process. And military disciplinary process is basically code language for nothing. They'll move this person to another unit. He'll rise in the ranks, and we've seen these cases in history. They actually often rise to very high ranks after they've been involved in a serious war crime. That's the Israeli Jewish public. Most of it doesn't want this to be prosecuted at all.
Let's conclude, and thank you, Jonathan. This has been, I think, extremely important information. Jonathan's article, which is linked at the Gaza Corner section of the playlist at tangents.com, is Understanding the Mindset Behind Israel's Usage of Rape as a Weapon of Genocide. And his story is based on the Palestinian Center for Human Rights report, which documents the testimonials of systemic rape and sexual torture in Israeli detention against the recently released Palestinian detainees. So thank you, Jonathan. Jonathan Ofer is an Israeli Jew. He resides in Denmark. Not only is he a writer and contributes regularly for Mondo Weiss, but he's also a violinist and conductor. Thank you, Jonathan.
Thank you very much, Dory. Thanks for having me.